It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. Five stars.
Brace for impact. What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
It's going to get so hot in here.
It is going to get hot. We'll have a break. Welcome to episode 2, season 2 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Tom, I'm your host as usual. Joining us this week is the returning Adam Nathan. Adam, how are you, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Primed for battle after the Twitter spat this morning.
We went out for questions this morning.
Sorry about that.
You
were,
knock you off a little bit. Dan put you down as, what was it, a lamella hater.
Lamella hater. Which isn't untrue.
I've been changing 3 people's phones now to Lamella Hater as opposed to Adam. So,
we will
a legacy at least.
We will come on to it about why you hate Eric Lamella so much. The other voice, of course, you hear is Dan Kilpatrick.
Hello,
Dan, how are you doing, mate?
I'm much better than last week.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to hear you this week.
Yeah.
Apologies again.
I'm closer to the mic and I'm not really ill, so hopefully an all-round better performance.
Yeah, exactly. Last week was kind of like your ease-in'd under-21s fixture that to get some fitness back. You play 45 minutes for the under-21s in midweek. Will he start? He's here today. That was good banter. Right, so obviously we are here to discuss the Everton 1-1 draw. Adam, you both went, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
You went, Dan, in your professional capacity, and you were stuck in the child seat that is Everton press box.
The Everton press box is absolutely horrendous. I thought the Spurs press box was bad. Spurs press box is quite cramped, and if you need to go for a piss or you want to get out for any reason and you're at the end, everyone's got to move. The Everton press box is similar, but you just don't have any leg room. There just isn't leg space. So I was kind of hunched into a ball, which wasn't particularly pleasant, but can't complain.
Gets to go to game for free.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
And obviously, you went in your fan capacity.
That's also not the most comfortable. It's one of those stadiums where there's not that the seating's not that graduated on the lower tier. So any ball on your side, but on the other corner, you're on tiptoes for 90 minutes, and any arms in the air basically becomes restricted view seat. There are better places to watch your football.
I went to Fratton Park a few years ago, and it was exactly the same. Like basically over the halfway line, you just saw the top of David Jones's head. If you sat on the front row, it was very odd. Aside from the stadium, overall thoughts about the game? For a first game in the season?
For a first game in the season, we probably looked one pre-season game light, and we spent the first half of the game having a mini pre-season before a half-time break and substitution that made it a Premier League game, is what I would say, for the last half an hour.
Dan, disagree?
Agree. Could have been worse, could have been better. Mm. I think we looked quite undercooked for the best part of an hour.
It really was a horrendous, but the worst start that we could have asked for, wasn't it? Goal down, goalkeeper and captain down, touch just looked so off.
We just didn't really get going for about 50 minutes until he made the Janssen sub. And I think while he made a difference, by that point Everton themselves were tiring a bit, and we all know Spurs are quite a fit team, so that probably helped us out. But yeah, I agree with Adam, we just didn't quite look ready for Premier League football, in common with about 15 of the other teams in the league, to be fair.
Well, someone, I don't think we put it in the running order, but somebody asked if a factor that half of the team that we played, or over half of the team that we played against Everton, didn't really play anything more than the Inter game in pre-season. I think that's probably fair to say, apart from Lamella, but I don't think...
Well, Vertonghen didn't play a single minute in pre-season. No. I mean, it obviously hasn't been ideal at all. We touched on the Australia trip last week, and I said, I remember when I saw the squad, and I just thought it was piss-poor planning. I think that's still true, but it's done now. Could have been a lot worse. We drew twice with Everton last year, so we're not really
down
in that respect.
And it's the reaction was quite pleasing, wasn't it? Because we could have been 2-0 down at half-time. Right, we were quite fortunate not to be. But we did react in the second half. And it was, I thought the second half was a really good performance and very much in line with what we're used to from us, particularly sort of last year. Do you think it was a Pochettino, you know, bollocking at half-time, or was it purely just a really good tactical shift that we made?
I think the shift definitely made a help. Though it's weird because we still weren't really playing two strikers. They were lining up in a diamond a bit, but it was basically Janssen playing where Kane was, Kane playing where Ali was, and Ali playing where Dier was. That's what it looked like. And it's weird how someone who was willing to run the channels had a bit more freshness in him, like Janssen, just forced Everton 5-10 yards back, which gave us a bit more space for the fullbacks. I think he also switched the wingers over and he put Lamella on the left, Eriksen on the right, and it just made the pitch, which isn't that big, I don't think, compared to some of the bigger stadiums. It just gave us a bit more room to work with and it just looked a lot more natural. So a very good change.
We kind of went 2-1-5-2 in the end. We kind of had, across the middle, we had Lamella, Kane, Ali, Eriksen, and with Rose and Walker, kind of, that might be six, I don't know, I'm not really counted very well. But we, the pressure was, it was much more of a Pochettino performance, wasn't it?
The second half,
yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case that Pochettino got it wrong by playing Dier and Dembele, Dier and Wanyama from the start. Because as much as they're good players, then they're not creative players, and I think
last week in the pod we were saying about who would we play,
and hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Well, yeah, I said I would definitely, but play surely Wanyama, you know what you were getting from Dier and Wanyama, surely.
Yeah, but having watched the game, I'm saying I'm thinking Mark got it wrong. Okay, you know, he's paid to.
What was the alternative to Wanyama or Dier? Well, do you think? Was it Janssen from the start, or was it?
It might have been. We've just, Adam and I were just saying before we got going that probably for the Palace game, there's a strong case for dropping Ali back next to either Dier or Wanyama and playing Janssen and Kane. And he might have thought about that, but then it was much safer to play Wanyama from the start than Janssen from the start, because Wanyama's Premier League proven, he's played under Pochettino before, he knows what's expected of him, so I can understand why he did it, but I think we just struggled to get through that midfield three of Idrissa, McCarthy and Barry. It's very hard when you've got three players whose natural instinct is just to sit, to find a way through that. And I thought Kyle Walker was by far the most enterprising player in the first half and the only player that looked likely to do something.
Mm.
When that's the case, it's, you know, things are a bit shit, basically.
We were a bit unlucky as well with the goal, weren't we? I mean, it's one of those where everyone's to blame, but nobody's to blame, isn't it?
I didn't know what the problem was at the start when the goal went in, and then about 10 minutes later they had another free kick, similar place, that Barkley forced a good save from Lloris.
Yeah, Jagielka's header.
Was it Jagielka's header?
It was exactly the same. When Yama fouled, Barkley free kick, and then Jagielka got a head on it.
And at that point I actually looked at how we were lined up, and we just looked a little bit too high as a line. For the ball to drop where it did, on which the keeper can't get it and the defence can't get it, for me that seems like that's not what you'd want. You'd want no middle ground at all that isn't covered by the goalkeeper or the defence. It didn't help that Vertonghen, who played like a Fazio tribute act for most of the game, was more interested in fouling Funes Mori than just sweeping him behind.
He struggled, didn't he?
He probably could have cleared it. I mean, no pre-season.
He looked half fit, didn't he?
He looked half fit, but I think
probably was. I mean, I think Wimmer obviously has this. I mean, something we didn't mention last week was that Poch got it very, very wrong by taking Vimmer to Australia, because he went, had a groin strain, exacerbated it, didn't play a minute, and still isn't fit. So I think playing with Tomlin was a necessity rather than a choice, because Vimmer's not available.
But, on the Dyer Wanyama thing, I'm not willing to write it off yet, because I think those two are built in order for us to control the game. And as soon as that goal goes in, it messes that whole plan up. Because it does allow Barry, McCarthy and Gay to have zero enterprise, sit in front of the back four and say, okay, come and beat us. That is a problem. But if you're playing against Palace at home or even Everton away and they've got to come out a bit more, I think you probably see them being a little better because there's less intricacy required from that. And also, it's not necessarily their problem to, you know, find the gaps. You know, you've got Eriksen, Lamella and Ali who did nothing in terms of incisiveness. So I would still go with it for another game just to see, because I think they'd be quite handy for us to control a game if we don't do a stupid thing and concede an early goal.
Quite like the idea of them playing away at Old Trafford or away at City. It's kind of what I thought we were going to do when we had Sandro and Dembele, that kind of good footballers, but very much.
If Dembele is available, he's the first name in the team sheet.
But with those two.
With one off.
With one off. I should say that's going with my thinking that Ali's going to have a bit less of a... I think he's going to come in and out, Ali, a little bit more this season than he did last season. That's a prediction, not what I want, and not what I necessarily think is definitely going to
happen. You will be apologising for that prediction.
Maybe. I don't think Ali's going to have as big... I think he's great, but I just think that all of last season we were saying... At some point, Ali's going to have that dip. And, you know, none of us are wishing it to happen, but we all thought it was going to happen. Went to the Euros and it was almost a reality check for maybe a few of our players. It was a disaster, but it's not their fault.
That was Roy Hodgson in England.
Yeah, but that still doesn't take... You can still be affected by that. He's 19, and that's a huge setback that he's had in his career in his career so far. To go to the Euros and just be... part of an absolute disaster of a team on a European or world stage. I'm not saying he was to blame and he didn't play that badly. It's just how it is. That's kind of how it works. But
the main problem that we have is we're pretty good against the good teams that come out because it gives us space to play and whatever and on the counter attack. The player that has the biggest problem against the teams that sit narrow and deep is Ali as a number 10. Because there's no space to win a flick on, or there's no space to, get onto a flick on. There's no space for that pass from Alderweireld, 40 yards off the left. And I actually, you're right, I don't think that in games at home to the equivalent of Newcastle last year or West Brom last year, Ali clearly has a role to play ahead of two strikers. I was looking at the goals that Ali scored last year. I think he only scored at home against Villa and United. He did, and all of his goals came away slightly later on when the game had developed. So I would look at this last year.
Unprecedented.
I'll probably get called up on it, but I'm pretty sure the majority of Ali's goals came against decent sides away from home last year, and certainly his best performances where there was more room to work.
Not going to argue it.
Yeah,
because
we don't know. No, it's a fair point. Quickly on Wanyama, what did you think of him as an individual performance for his first game?
I thought he was really poor.
Really poor, did you?
No, he got better. The first half, he gave away stupid free kicks and he scored from...
Was it a foul? It didn't look a foul at all.
I haven't watched the game back. From where I was sitting, it was a foul.
Okay. I think it was,
in the cramped press box.
Put it this way, he gave the ref a decision in the first four minutes.
You know what, sometimes you have to say... I know a lot less than Pochettino, and the fact that he kept on Wanyama and took off Dyer when Jensen came on says something. It must say that he thought Wanyama was doing a better job of breaking up the play.
Also had more of a pre-season.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I think that said something. It said at the very least that he trusts him and he's happy for him to do that job by himself as Dyer did last year. But I wasn't hugely impressed. Partly because Idrissa had such a great debut for Villa as well, and it was
Everton.
came for Villa, didn't he? It was difficult not to kind of compare the two, because I suppose their primary job is more or less the same thing, like sweep in front of the back four, and he was great, and I just thought Wanyama was a bit so-so.
Surprise for me was that Wanyama was picking the ball up from the back four a lot more, and Dyer wasn't. My research doesn't stretch enough to touches in the first half, but for the way it looked, it seemed like Wanyama was sort of doing Dyer's job from last year, and Dyer was trying to do Dembele's. Maybe Dyer was trying to be the more forward thinking.
I didn't notice that Dyer wasn't splitting the centre backs like he did last year, which might be to do with the way Everton played, but it was just very noticeable that he wasn't doing that job. He wasn't sort of dropping in.
Less controversial is Jensen's contribution. I think everyone's pretty happy with what they've seen so far. Obviously, it's first game. You know, I think it's not easy, but I think as a striker, you can come on and run about a bit, and everyone says, "Oh, this is a good, this is going to do it, mate." But it is almost, isn't it? Because you know, you're chasing a game, and he put himself about. But he showed more than that. He played really well with his back to goal, and Everton were defending deeper and deeper, and he was really useful. What do you guys think of Jansen's contribution?
Yeah, I thought he was great. As soon as he came on, his first contribution was to hold the ball up, create a bit of space, and put a cross in, which Ali shot over from the edge of the box, which is, at that stage, probably Tottenham's best chance of the game.
Far.
So, he, as Adam said a few minutes ago, he just pushed Everton back. He put pressure on Funes Mori and Jagielka, who, let's face it, I think they're kind of yesterday's name, to be honest. They're not the best centre-halves in the league. And Kane, poor Kane, I don't think he's up to speed yet. And the ball was kind of bouncing off him a lot. And he just wasn't able to put the pressure on them. Whereas Jansen, by contrast, it seemed like the ball was sticking to him.
Yeah.
And that was a very big difference, I think.
Do you think Jansen's inclusion allows Kane to get into the speed of things a bit better? Because everyone was talking about, you know, last season Kane didn't score for 8 games until September, and then he got firing, but there was no alternative, so it was this or nothing. But now we've got someone that can probably ease him in a bit. Like, his touch was really poor. I think he only had about 6 touches in the first half or something like that, none in the penalty box, you know, something like that. And does the option of Jansen just give Kane a bit more opportunity to build into the game, like, and also drop back and help Ali? Because that's what I was finding quite interesting, that Jansen gave a focal point around Ali and Kane so that they could do what they do best in kind of causing problems elsewhere whilst defenders are busy.
I'm not sure I would have played Kane in August, to be honest. I think the football he's had over the last 2 years, the guy's had no break, and he's very young, and really...
It's very easy to say that.
It is easy, but you have signed a striker who looked... If you compare the two performances, only one of them looked anywhere near ready to play Premier League football. And I love Kane, but there are times where if it's not going well, he tries to get more involved, which actually becomes a hindrance at times because he's not in the areas you want him to be. And I think when we just had a striker on there who was going to play as a striker, everything seemed easier. And obviously it's a bit trite to say, you know, give Kane a few weeks off. But if... On Saturday, Jansen played and Kane was on the bench. I would have no argument with that, and I think for the long term of the season, I don't think that would be the most ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I was saying I wouldn't be surprised if Jansen started the season in the team, because Pochettino said at some point during last season, he said, "Oh, the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, Kane was going through his own pre-season after the European Under-21 Championship." So I don't see why it would be any different this year. I think after the Euros, Kane is going through his own mini pre-season right now. But Kane is Kane. Like, I don't think at the beginning of last season he wasn't scoring. It wasn't like the chances weren't coming his way. It was almost more of a luck thing, a confidence thing. Like, he missed that one-on-one against Everton, didn't he? He was just missing a few chances, and I still think if he starts against Palace, there's a good chance he's going to get on the end of something or stick something away, because he is Kane. He's an unbelievable goal scorer.
I wonder if the Inter Milan game was annoyingly easy and it made everyone look so ready. Yeah. It made them look so... I mean, we look like a Rolls Royce team on that day, and obviously they were a few weeks behind us in preparation. Had that been against Atletico Madrid and we'd you know.
And they were in a shambles and they just sat the manager a few days after.
Yeah. I wonder if that had been a tougher game, if that would have skewed slightly the team he went with, and maybe he just looked at it and thought, well, these guys are ready to play, but actually they're playing against a pub team.
I don't think he's naive. I think he'll know who's ready and who's not. And Spurs looked undercooked on Saturday, but what can Pochettino do? I mean, I think Everton were undercooked as well. Coleman said that before the game. But it's like, do any of us have wanted to see whoever, Chadley,
no,
Carroll, the guys who went to Australia and have had a full season and didn't go to the Euros? 9 of our best 11 went to the Euros. That's just a reality.
Yeah.
And that's probably higher than the majority of teams in the league, if not every other team in the league.
Mm.
And that's just the situation we're in. I know that Spurs players played more minutes in France than any other Premier League club. You just got to deal with it.
Fair enough. Ollie Whitefoot asked a good question at @owhitefoot. Are we equipped to deal with teams going 3-5-2 against us? And he used the example of West Ham last season. In the first game of the season, I know it's only 2 games out of the last 39.
Well, West Brom, the 1-1 draw as well. They
were fighting back 9-1 as a formation. But it's a good question because it's something that you don't come up against too often in the Premier League anymore.
I think Dembele is so important in breaking down teams, regardless of formation, but particularly when they got men behind the ball, because you can see it on Saturday, like they had Idrissa and McCarthy and Barry, like I said, just sitting, especially after they scored. They were just happy to sit. And we couldn't find a way through them. And Eriksen, Ali and Lamella were doing next to nothing. But when you've got Dembele, he is capable of just dropping a shoulder or switching pace and taking 2 or 3 men out of the game. And we've seen it countless times last season. And when you've got him in the team and he can do that, and he can help you transition from defence to attack by just taking people out completely, it makes a hell of a lot of difference. And suddenly the whole pitch opens up ahead of him, he picks a pass and Spurs are on the move.
I think so, the option of having 2 strikers in the squad also helps. I mean, at half time I would have taken off Vertonghen for Janssen and then just dropped everyone back a place. So Dier to centre half, Ali to centre midfield, and just gone basically an orthodox 4-4-2. He basically did that, but it was Dire sacrifice as opposed to Vertonghen. And I think just having that second option does mean we can be more flexible. So I'm not really very good at analysing how teams break down specific formations against others, to be honest, but I would assume that having more strikers would help you deal with less defenders.
Yeah, I look at Janssen and think in the times where we needed a second striker last season, so, you know, West Ham away,
with their West
Brom at home.
Of course,
but really specific. Yeah. Towards in the crunch time, if you like, when, you know, when we did suffer. Janssen is the one obvious one that seems to sort of spring to mind. We are going to move on to Eric Miller, because we should. It is funny, because you are a big... Well, you were a big detractor of Lamella. But you said earlier that you've given him a clean slate for this season.
It's not a clean slate. You know, like when you've...
Slightly dusty.
Well, caveat.
You know when you've got a dishwasher and you don't want to, like, get the food from your plate in the dishwasher, so you give it a rinse and then it goes in the dishwasher?
Right.
So the slate is about as clean as the pre-washed
He's
plate.
Baked on bolognese.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope we can chip that off at some point.
Bit of fairy.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I just thought it was rubbish before 2016 turned around. I don't see how there's much, apart from running around and working hard, I don't necessarily see how there can be that much of an argument against it. 2016, he's clearly a better player than he was in 2015. I don't think that's even up for debate.
We're talking calendar year here.
I think he's better, but wasn't awful in 2015.
But mate, to be fair, I'm pretty sure there've been countless times on Twitter where I've mentioned you've detracted, as we put it, from Lamella, and I've sort of waded in. And I'm sure it was this year. I'm sure it was the second half of last season.
So my view on it is this: last year we didn't win the league, and we were very close. So by that assumption, you need to improve somewhere in order to win the league. That seems fairly sound logic.
Yeah.
Of the best 11 that we had last year, I would say 9 of them, apart from the goalkeeper and Lamella, were in the top 3 in their position in the league.
Apart from Lloris.
Who was better than Lloris?
I think Lloris chucked in quite a few. I don't want to go too Ben Lewis on this, but
Ben Lewis, friend of the pod.
No, I thought, you know, Lloris. maybe Lloris was, but I think De Gea was clearly best than him last year.
Yeah.
I think he was probably around about the level of Cech, who I think we could probably say maybe had 7-8 out of 10 season. But the rest of them, the back four, Dier, Dembele, Eriksen, Ali, Kane.
Yeah.
Top 3 in their position last year.
Yeah.
So there has to be another position you can improve, and that for me was Lamella's, because you can get someone better to perform better. And this is simplistic speak, but that's the only reason why I say that he's our least important player, because the others were all in the best in their position.
If Mahrez was in for Lamella, we probably would have, well, we definitely would have won the league.
Or Mane, as we spoke about.
Yeah, Mane. But if Mane was in for Eriksen, we probably would have won the league.
I don't agree.
For Eriksen? No.
No?
No, I think they're very different.
I mean, Mahrez was player of the year last year. He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see, that's my view.
He was player of the year last year. He was really good.
He was very good.
Thank you, Alan Shearer.
It was a hatred of the player. It's now no longer a hatred of the player. It's a thing that I think we can improve.
Lamella last year, I know what you're saying, and I do find it almost quite difficult to argue against it. But for me, even when he wasn't at his best, or even when he wasn't playing really well, I felt like he was integral to the team. And obviously, what Pochettino has done is built a team which, has been said before, is greater than the sum of its parts. And I feel like Lamella was a really important part of that, because his relentless energy seemed to set the tempo for the rest of the team's pressing. He seemed to often lead from the front and kind of drag people with him a lot of the time. I think he's a big game player. He always seems to up his game for the North London derbies, the Man City games, the United game stands out in my mind. I just think he, for almost the whole of last season, and particularly now, I mean, I had to do a thing for ESPN where all the writers did a prediction. It was like top 4, bottom 3, player of the year, top goal scorer, etc. And I didn't take it hugely seriously, but I predicted Lamella to be PFA player of the year. And it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't know. It was either I was going to go for De Bruyne. That was my serious shout. But then I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm going Lamella. You know what? Like, I think he's going to have a great season. He's just getting better and better.
Mm.
And I honestly, Dembele, for me, is the most... Now that Kane and Dier have alternatives, I think Dembele's the key man. But I don't think Lamella's too far behind. I just think he's so important to the way Tottenham play.
I'd be delighted for him to be our 12th man, and that when there's an injury, he can come in and play, because he's of the required standard to start games. But actually, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'll probably get pelted for this, I think that what Son can do with the ball is on a completely different level to what Lamella's capable of. And the goals that Son scores are exactly the type of goals that you want to come from that position, like getting in behind against Chelsea, also against Southampton, the winner at Watford, the way he played against Palace. I mean, the best game that we had, in my opinion, last year was at home to West Ham.
Mm.
We beat them 4-1.
Yeah.
Son played in that Lamella position, and everything was just, it just looked right. And I think, you know, if you gave Son the minutes that Lamella had on a regular starting base, I'm not talking about bringing off the bench, and, you know, players need 6 starts in a row to really look good. And I think Lamella has looked very good when he's had those. But I think you can improve in that position. And I'll never apologise for demanding Spurs to be better.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Will be apologising for when he wins PFA Player of the Year.
Someone did say, would I get a tattoo of that if you did?
obviously, yes, you will.
I don't think Lal Hardy is going to be too worried about trying to fit me in. It's not going to happen.
He as well, just some stats, he's been involved in 7 goals in the last 7 Premier League games, 4 assists, 3 goals. Who's he scoring against?
Newcastle
Saturday,
and United.
And I don't know what
yeah United Yeah.
Maybe United wasn't in that.
I think it was.
Maybe they're counting the
Did
event.
He score against Saints, or was that Kane?
No, it's Son.
That was Son.
Son.
There you go. Maybe they're counting the pre-season against Juventus.
Son, like, you know what? I haven't included Son on the running order, but we should say that he's just been knocked out, hasn't he? So he's coming back, yeah. And he's probably going to be drafted into the army in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't say that about many players.
No, I mean, you say fighting mentality. I mean, he's actually going to be in an army.
Now we'll actually see.
So,
no,
he lost it in the ref, though. Did you see? He nearly had back the referee.
Really?
Yeah, they got kicked out, and he was. I think the South Koreans thought that the ref had indicated 5 minutes, but they actually indicated 3, and they only played 3. And so there was like an invasion of the South Korean players around the ref when he blew full time, thinking they had another 2 or 3 minutes to play. And they all completely lost their head with Son as the architect.
Well, I spoke to someone who does like marketing for Son or something before the Olympics, and apparently he in particular, but all of them, but particularly Son, was absolutely desperate to get a medal.
Someone's just absolutely
desperate to win a medal. Like,
right.
It's not a myth. Like, they have to do. There's no way out of the national service. And if they don't do it, they become. If they worm their way out somehow, which people have tried before, they become like a national pariah.
Right.
And everyone hates him. It's like a source of major shame.
He's like a huge star. Like,
he's a big star. I don't think he's not quite Park Ji Sung levels yet, but he's kind of. Not far off.
Yeah.
If he can win something with Spurs, it will definitely elevate that. But he was really, really keen to win a medal, and I think it's a worry. Like, it's in the back of his mind. What can you do?
It's awful.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Fucking hell, man. Speaking of someone else that you're not a massive fan of, to say the least, the man that came on for Hugo Lloris on Saturday. Quick word on Mikael Vorm, Adam?
I think it's close to negligent that he's still our second choice. Every game he plays, give or take, he's chucking one goal in at least. He packed us out of both cups last year with just ridiculous... Have you ever seen a goalkeeper that makes himself look smaller when the striker's running? That goal against Juventus, the first one in pre-season, he was small. He was narrower than a post. It went Carter Vickers and Ball messed up, and the ball got put through, and he just sort of shrunk into himself. It was ridiculous, but no, honestly, on this,
Pochettino wants to sign another keeper. That's an ITK.
He's clearly a popular.
He's quite key.
He's clearly a popular member of the squad because he's always in every like Snapchat and Instagram, whatever. So that's fine. But if you look at what Spurs have done with their sub keeper in the last few years, it's been Vorm who. If I told you Vorm had to play for 3 months of the season, you'd be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
End of.
Yeah.
Friedel before that, you'd be terrified.
Yeah.
When he was the sub-keeper.
When he was...
Yeah.
And Cudicini before that, you'd have been terrified.
Oh, can't I do this?
Yeah. No. Before pre-motorbike.
when he had...
But in the season where he was second to Friedel, which was 2011-12, you know, he cost us a couple of goals in the cup semi-final against Chelsea... He was past it at that point.
Oh yeah, he was still there, wasn't he?
That was his
last season. Yeah, he became a kind of one of those sort of Richard Wright specialist number twos and didn't give a fuck about
didn't play,
which, was, which was a shame. Really.
And I just think for 6 years to have had a situation where you've got a guy who is, I know it's not a big issue, it's a second choice keeper, but sometimes they have to play. And a team like Stoke, for example, have had a succession of Sorensen, and then they had Begovic waiting in the wings,
mm-hmm.
and they had Butland waiting in the wings before, and now they've got Butland. And I just think it's been a bit poor from a planning perspective. If we're going to give minutes to anyone, give it to a kid who makes mistakes will learn, as opposed to a guy who's going over the hill.
He's our oldest member of the squad, he's 32, the only over 30 in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, if Lloris left, you'd have to sign another keeper.
Mm.
So that seems pointless to have that guy as a second keeper then, because ultimately he's there for if you need him to play.
I can't really argue with that.
We do have to move on. We have gone a little bit over on who Adam hates.
We started on Chadley yet. But anyway,
well, we don't need to, I don't think.
No.
So we've got Palace on Saturday.
Should we have a break so we can go get a pint?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a break. We'll be back afterwards with a Palace preview and some listener questions. Welcome back to the Tottenham Way podcast. We are going to do a Palace review because we...
A review?
Preview. Sorry, didn't jump ahead a week. Because we've got Palace this week on Saturday.
Woo!
I know! We're good at this. We've got Pardew's Palace, which I think is a quite a pertinent thing for this fixture. But a Pardew Palace that is on the wane, maybe? Is it a little bit too early to be saying that?
Been on the wane for the best part of 6 months, haven't they?
Well, yeah, like it goes in line with pretty much what people said about Pardew when he first takes over a team. He'll get 18 months out of you, or give or take, and then you'll start to suffer. He did it at Newcastle, he did it at West Ham. Don't know if Charlton was one of them, don't really care about Charlton. But they might be.
Southampton? Can't remember.
Did he? Don't remember that? I know he...
Apparently slept with some of the players' wives.
I was going to say that, and then I was wondering if you were going to give me the eyes. The Edit Mail eyes.
That's hearsay for the record, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the thought of putting the mockers on any team you're playing on a Saturday on a Monday is disgusting to me, so I will have no part in this conversation about Palace waning whatsoever. I think they're going to be a top team, at least top three. All the players are unbelievable, and let's see what happens.
I love how steadfast you can be about like someone like Lamella and Vaughan. And yet, like, there's still that Spurs about you. It's just like,
I am the most superstitious person you could possibly have. I mean, Ashley Williams, who I think is just a terrible player. And I had all of this laughter at Everton thinking he was the saviour, and I couldn't use any of it until it was formally announced he wasn't going to play on Saturday, because obviously it would have resulted in a goal and a clean sheet for
him. And we said
forgive him, by the way.
Who?
Ashley Williams.
What for?
For passing to Mahrez.
Over that enough. I mean, the Balassi thing, maybe, and actually, the tide might be starting to turn. I mean, on Saturday, there were three injury doubts in the whole game. Vertonghen, Coleman and Lukaku. And we got all three of those in our favour. Now this week, Balassi has gone from the team we're playing to the team we've just played. I mean, everything could be changing. As we said earlier, normally it would be player scores a brace against Spurs, moves to the team that they're playing the next week,
score at least one.
I mean, it's reversed. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Mm. Yeah. Although, they have got Andrus Townsend, and it didn't end on the best terms for Townsend at Spurs. Went to Newcastle, he had a good game, didn't he, in the 5-1?
Yeah, ran us ragged. Yeah.
I mean, everyone did. But he did. Well,
every one of our players had a stinker.
Yeah, but Townsend was sort of.
There was some interesting quotes this week, actually, from Townsend.
Yeah,
he more or less said that didn't do enough for Spurs, and he wasn't making excuses or hiding in any way. He just said it wasn't good enough. Mm. And
I think exactly it wasn't until I started playing for Newcastle that I realised just how badly I'd been playing for Spurs.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I really like Andros.
It's a real shame.
Yeah.
He would still be a player that on Saturday would have been great to have on our bench. You know, when you've got both your wingers looking a little wingers inside forwards looking quite sluggish, and you've got that little burst of pace on the bench, he's clearly a good player. I mean, I know there's the shooting thing, which is very funny, but actually he can stretch a team, he can put a cross and he can beat a man. And I think that we don't really have anyone in the squad currently that can do that, and it might have been helpful to have him. It's just a shame that it ended as it did, really, I think, because he's a Spurs boy and he clearly would love to.
He was quite genuinely gutted as well, wasn't he? Is it his first trip back to... It would be his first trip back to White Hart Lane, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And he's almost definitely going to play, isn't he?
Yeah.
Patrick.
Do we know anything about, other than that, about Palace?
Benteke might sign this week.
They apparently want to use the Balassi money to sign Sissoko from Newcastle.
Oh my god. Why
are you laughing before Saturday? Is the first thing I'm going to say about that. A player that rips us to shreds every time he plays against us.
Yeah, to be fair. Vane was good in that 5-1 on Sissoko.
Yeah, but... Yeah, No, that's a fair point. And it wasn't bad in the Euros either. He's just obviously a scumbag because he didn't try at all last season.
Well, the Newcastle
really
thing
really tried when he got into France.
He's great on TV, is what Newcastle fans used to say about him, I think.
That's Wijnaldum as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You say he only scored when they were on TV.
That was the whole team.
I don't know anything about Palace.
You sent me a text message about 3 hours ago saying, really need to improve these previews.
Let's beef it up.
And now you're sitting there going, I don't know anything about Palace.
That was a text message to you, mate.
Sorry, mate. Made it public.
You're the sports journalist.
I just covered Spurs, didn't I? So,
yeah.
Any responsibility to.
Are they still got Conor Wickham?
Yeah, he's the main man, I think.
Yeah, he's alright, isn't he?
Top player.
Handy, yep. I don't know enough about it.
I mean, I think what I can say is I didn't watch the full defeat to West Brom on the opening day, but I think along with Arsenal, they're the kind of only team in the Premier League that will really be gutted by that opening day because they were expected to beat West Brom at home. They've got Man City, I think, after Spurs.
Mm.
I think they're hosting City.
Right.
So it's a. They potentially got a really, really tough start, and it would have been okay had they beaten West Brom or even got a point. But now they've lost that game, it's not looking good for them. They've got to come to Spurs and then play Pep City. So they'll be feeling the pressure already, and it's a real opportunity for Spurs to first home game of the season. Everton was a bit disappointed. Your hope will be fitter. Your hope will be readier, and it's an opportunity to win that game comfortably.
The second half against Everton looked like we almost needed a reminder of how good we are. At half time, we needed to be, you know, forget Newcastle.
Given the way we finished last season,
exactly.
Not that surprising.
Exactly, yeah. And we didn't come out and play in the second half like we did against Stoke at the end of last season, but we did just need a reminder. You know what? When you go for it, we are going to create chances, and you only need to score one of them to get a point out of this game.
Pardew is not a Pulis. He's not the kind of guy that. I don't think maybe they could come and beat us, who knows, but I don't think they're the type of team that's going to have the capacity to sit deep and really try and frustrate her. I think he's inherently the type of manager that wants to play. He'll probably have Zaha. I don't know if Saka's fit, but I imagine they'll play high tempo, two wide men. And you'd have to hope that any team that comes to White Hart Lane and tries to do that, we should be better than them, and it should give us a bit of space.
Well,
to
and
work
also, you've just reminded me that they've got the players to hurt us as well.
Mm.
It's not as if, again, it's not as if they're a West Brom who you'd think would be relying on set pieces or something a bit fortuitous. They've got guys like Sacco, Townsend,
punching on his day.
Yeah, so
turn it on.
There's a lot of pace in that team. Mm. That's the way Pardew likes to play it. Look, Spurs, we've got ambitions to finish in the top six, let alone top four. We've got to beat some Palace at home.
How do you think we're going to line up with how it went against
Everton? He'll pick the same team.
Yeah.
But as I said, I would be very tempted to swap Wanyama for Janssen.
Because we've had a question from Benjamin Odell at Benjamin_Odell. Hypothetically, you've decided Janssen did enough against Everton to earn a starting place against Palace, so who's getting dropped? So you're saying Wanyama?
I'm saying Wanyama, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the most logical.
Hypothetically.
I'm
going to reach a bit and say Kane or Ali.
So if Ali drops, Kane to drop a
deeper.
I wouldn't be unhappy with that. And I'd also, if it did happen, I'd like Ali to be a bit unhappy with that. Does that make sense? To be a bit...
I know what Adam's saying about Ali, I do, but then I think what he showed last season is even when he's not playing well and he's struggling,
that's the
he's just
about.
Capable, isn't he?
He
will pop up with an assist or a goal. I think he's such a good player, just keeping him in the pitch all the time.
Well, the other option you have is that I think it was the Watford game at home where he was rested. And he came off the bench and made a real impact the last half an hour. When the games have become a little bit more stretch, and you know, our style, I think, is there to knacker teams out. And Ali is the kind of guy that if you give him a yard of space, anything can happen. Brilliant. Mm. If he doesn't have that space, I think that's where he's got a problem. So yeah, the more I think about it, I probably would leave Ali out, keep that control, because against the fast wingers, I would be slightly worried about having only one holding midfielder.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, I would probably leave Ali out.
Okay.
More I think about it.
It's nice to have the option, actually.
Very nice.
Not nice to leave Ali out, but it is nice to think, because if Ali dropped out at the end of last season, as we saw,
well, I mean, just,
very difficult
just,
to replace.
It just shows what difference even having, I mean, I still think we're two or three players short, but even just having signed Wanyama and Jansen early as opposed to on deadline day, I mean, what would we be talking about if we hadn't signed them? We'd be talking about.
Can you imagine?
Do we bring in Mason?
Where's Berahino?
So I think Spurs aren't that fussed about transfers. Any more transfers, and those are the two they wanted to get in. I still think they're sniffing around, but it's just good that they've been done now for at least a month.
Mm.
We can talk about them being realistic options.
Yeah, it's very rare for us to be able to do that from a pre-season. Anything more to add on Palace? I mean, it's been a hell of a preview.
I'm not really very much looking forward to seeing what the stadium looks like with half.
Good point. Great point. Mm. So yeah, we've got the
northeast
corner
gone. There's been some pictures. It is just like a sheer drop.
It's horrible
next to it, which someone said might come in handy when we're 2-0 down to West Brom or something like that, which was quite a nice.
Don't get that.
Well, it's like a sheer drop from a seat.
Just end it all.
They're going to
suicide joke.
Yeah, you have to put it.
I sit in the east upper in the middle, so I'm hoping that it doesn't. It's not that something too clear for me.
Yeah,
I can try and ignore it, but I get the feeling that when I don't know, Rose tries to whack one from 40 yards and he shanks it, and someone's chasing the ball.
I just have to start it.
So. Dad, don't say it. Every time it's just going in the top corner for now.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, it is going to be strange though, isn't it? Because it's brought us down by quite a few thousand.
Isn't it?
4,000, I think.
Mm. Which, in a standard of our size, is fairly significant, I'd say.
It is, given that I think it's 20,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah,
it reduces the kind of general allocation quite significantly.
Mm.
Which is I think, why the club have changed the ticketing policy on the season for the final year.
I'm still a bit bitter at how that announcement was sort of foisted upon us so late on in the season. It's an irrational thing to be annoyed about, but all of a sudden we were going to the Southampton game and that was the last game of the actual stadium.
Mm, yeah.
It just was a bit, all of a sudden, look around for the last time at the only thing that you've known for your whole life of being a Spurs fan.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe not enough was put on it for this.
I mean, also
staged.
One thing we should say about Palace is this is the last time we play Crystal Palace.
In the Premier League.
Yeah.
Every game has got to be treated like that.
And there's been a couple of people. I know that Charlie Parrish mentioned it. He was a bit surprised by the lack of fanfare about this being our last season of Wild Lane. I kind of know what he means by that.
Do you think it's got anything to do with it being built on the same site?
I don't know. I imagine Saturday's game, it will be much like any game from last season. There'll be a standard programme, there'll be standard sort of fanfare before the game, and it will be very much another home league game. But there's a legitimate case that you could say, look, this is the last time we're playing Palace in the Premier League at White Hart Lane. Let's produce a commemorative programme. Let's do X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
But the club aren't really going for that. It seems like they're keeping everything relatively low key.
Is there maybe a part of that that's if we do this and lose, we look really silly?
I don't know.
Unless it's against the Arsenal's, United's, Chelsea's.
I suppose, but then you could argue that it's about more than the result, isn't it? It's about it being the last time something happens.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not something I've given much thought to be honest, and I haven't given much thought to the whole at White Hart Lane either. I'm kind of intrigued to see what it's like.
It's going to be strange.
I've seen a lot of people kind of been a bit hysterical over the summer on Twitter, and I haven't really given a shit so far.
No. But don't get me wrong. I do care, and there is sentiment. But every time someone goes on a stadium tour at the moment, they post a picture to Twitter, and it's like crying emojis. It's like, mate, we've seen it. We do get it, guys. We there is a hole in our stadium and you're going to have to get used to it, but it's for the greater good. So,
yeah.
Stop it. No, Should we do some listener questions? We don't really know about Palace. Do you want to do predictions?
Spurs win.
Okay. Yeah, low point.
Get the season up. We need 7 points from the first three games. That was true last week and it's still true now.
Fair. Yeah, it would be great to get that out of the way before Liverpool, actually.
Liverpool is the third game.
Yeah. The first win, it would be great to get out of the way. Let's do some listener questions. So we've got to slurf, which sounds awful, is to trunk and will always be to trunk. Which one of our current squad's bad opinions will we most likely have to excuse to our kids with a, quote, he was a great player in the day sentiment of non-acknowledgement? I think if we deconstruct that question, it's who of our current squad is going to be a bad racist or just a bad person later in life that we're going to have to go, oh, but I'll tell you what, when he was at Tottenham, he was great. For some reason, he's offered Kane.
No.
He's always Kane's said he's a nice new kid.
No, Kane's a nice guy.
I don't think he cares enough about anything apart from football.
There was that amazing video of his response to a question about Brexit juxtaposed with Cialini's response. Yeah. And Kane was just like, which was a bit harsh. We haven't really thought much about it, that we don't know. And Cialini was like, we've got to be concerned about the domino effect.
I've got one. Kieran Trippier.
Ooh, he doesn't have the crazy guy down the pub.
Heavily tattooed at a young age.
Yeah.
Northern listeners.
No, but do you remember Kieran from school?
Yeah.
You heard about him? Yeah. He's definitely got it in him.
Yeah, we may not be able to say he's a great player, but got up and down. That's how you'd probably say to your kids.
Oh, yeah, Kieran had a great cross on him. But, it's just a shame.
He's like the kind of guy that when we win the double and he dies at like 78, you're like, oh, don't really remember him.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, when we win the double, he's the one that falls off the bus or something. One too many.
We all know, like, you know, Jones.
Yeah.
There are a few slightly randoms now.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's like, oh, yeah.
When you're doing the round of applause before kickoff, you're just like, how did he play?
I do think that, I'm not just saying this, but I honestly think that Spurs have a really nice group of players. And no one I can think of who is a potentially shady or dark character. They all just seem to be nice guys. And I think that's Pochettino's made it that way. He's got rid of the bad eggs, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Asked
this question 2 years ago.
The first things he did was anyone with a slightly suspect character who he didn't think was buying into his project was out the door. And I think now he's ended up with a really nice group of players who basically shy, hard-working, committed guys. So,
yeah.
On the whole,
I'm looking forward to who it's going to be in 20 years' time.
Maybe it'll be Van der Vaart's
always been a bit of a bad.
You can see him getting very fat and like
getting.
Well, yeah.
Never fit, was he?
No. Yeah, I have sneaky suspicion. Mm. Obviously, not current squad, but.
I mean, look, it's an unpleasant truth. Hoddle's the one.
Mm.
I mean, he is. Got some really questionable views, unfortunately. It has to be said. He gets a lot of adulation, but is that okay?
Sherwood?
I reckon he's top man.
Little throwback to last season there. Right, last question. Charlie Parrish, at Charlie Parrish. You're in charge of the Spurs wage structure and can offer everyone new deals. Who gets paid what? Probably not worth going through the whole squad because we've only got about 8 minutes left, but this is probably a nod to the Eriksen situation that's going on. Do we know anything about it? Is he, as far as we know, he's not signed a new deal?
I think he's rejected a new deal.
Right. So, should he be one of our top three earners? Should he be top five? What? Where do you place him in a wage structure, if you like?
It's so difficult because, based on last season's performances, as we alluded to earlier, you would say that there were 9 or 10 players that made up our first 11 that all deserve to be paid top whack in the Premier League scheme of things, because they were all such elite performers last year. But obviously Spurs don't have the budget to do that. So I think the club has to be really clever about offering new deals. Like, I mean, Ali started when he came from MK Dons, I think he was on about 15,000 a week. And I think he's now on something like 35,000 a week, which still seems pitifully low when you consider that Rooney's on 250.
Yeah.
But the club just has to be clever, and because we can't offer our best 11 £200,000 a week. So it's difficult. We've just got to make sure that we're keeping these guys happy while, without breaking the bank.
I think from a basic point of view, you could understand if he was made a top earner. But I think the position he plays, like as an inside left, right-footed, decent set-piece taker, I think that of all like the ten-a-penny attacking positions in the world, he's probably the most common type of player that you can find. I think finding a Dembele would be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Finding another Kane would be really difficult. Same as Alderweireld. I mean, how many centre-halves are in the world these days?
Yeah,
I think Eriksen... I don't think he's important enough yet to be a top earner. I think if he became, you know, much higher paid, you'd have six or seven more. Whereas if Kane was, I think a lot of the squad would probably say, I can understand why that's happened. So I would say Eriksen, if I was a tier, it would be in like my second tier of players.
Yeah.
Who's your top three then? Top three.
Most important players.
Most important players, and let's say it's probably going to be off. Yeah. So that would be reflected in how much they're paid.
I think on paper you would say Kane, Lloris, and Alderweireld maybe.
Yeah, it's between Alderweireld and Dembele.
I think I said that earlier, and I can't remember whether it's on air now or off air, but Dembele is the most important player in the squad at the moment.
It would be between...
Because he's absolutely irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Because now we have Janssen who can come in for Kane. Now we have Wanyama who can come in for Dier. I mean, we haven't really got anyone for Lloris, who's a goalkeeper.
Mm.
There's just no one who can fill that Dembele void.
Mm.
So based on that alone, I would pay him a lot of money. But Dembele signed a new deal last year. I think he's on about 50 grand a week.
He's 29 as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's relatively happy with that.
Mine would be Kane, Dembele and Alderweireld.
No Lloris.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but if the ball's in the top corner, the keeper can't save it. So I think there's a limited impact that the keeper can have.
The way Pochettino wants his team to play always starts with the goalkeeper. I do think Lloris
is... But funny enough, his distribution is actually relatively poor compared to most modern keepers.
I do agree. That's my biggest thing about Lloris. And it's not... People have a go at me on all sorts of saying that I don't think... I think it's... a slight problem that we do have that his distribution, but I still think he's Champions League quality and he's our captain, so he would be in my top three. And I do think the drop off between him and who we would possibly get as a replacement would be massive, like really massive.
I think it's a really good question, because Spurs are in a kind of weird position now where potentially title challengers, all these players who are potentially among the best in their position in the entire Premier League, but we're just not able to pay them what City, United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool can pay them. So it's really tricky. And I think Eriksen, I mean, Eriksen, the Menno, and Vertonghen are all in talks about a new deal. And I hope they'll sign, but
the worry is
kind of not blame them if they didn't.
Yeah, because they can. Yeah,
because they could go to wherever, Spain or Italy or another club in England and get more money.
If you think what every player's on in the squad, you could probably put a one before the number and they could get that elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's adding £1 million a week to your wage structure.
Yeah, it's true.
And I guess we're looking at the Champions League this season, so they've all got that window. So if it doesn't happen this season, who knows, next summer everyone could have had, we could get quarterfinals again and we've got Modric and Bale all over again for, you know, Kane and Dyer. You don't know. I'm not, obviously I don't hope it happens, but
the risk is it causing a massive backlog. By the way, everyone wants a new deal.
And Levy's not going to do it, is he? He does it. He's never done it. Really, it's a structured thing. You know, Bale got a new contract every 4 days or something like that with an extra couple of grand on it. And it was always that extra year. And yeah, he did it with everyone. And he made sure that he got the best deal for the club. But, yeah.
That said, different as it stands, I would let Eriksen's deal run out and say, do we want to do?
I don't think Levy would do that.
I don't think he will.
I do think the new stadium is proverbial game changer. Like Spurs will, I'm sure they'll be saying to whoever they're in talks with about a new deal, just hold tight. When we get this, gate receipts go up,
yeah,
money goes up, we jump up to the next level, equally, and then suddenly we can start giving you the deals you deserve.
Equally though, with say for instance a player like Eriksen, we could be saying the exact same things to Onana and Edwards, the exact same things, and have more chance of keeping them for a longer period of time because of the new stadium, because of the structure that we have with our wages and how much that can increase when we get the new stadium, that he might see a bit more potential in what Edwards could do for us as a homegrown English player than what Eriksen could give to us at 23, 24, I don't know, would it be a risk. It's a real disaster.
What, to lose Eriksen?
Yeah.
I think Pochettino would see it as a disaster to lose Eriksen.
This season,
very important to him. Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. I think Spurs will do everything they possibly can to keep Lamella and Vertonghen and Eriksen.
Without going.
Without setting a precedent that then becomes unmanageable for the club.
Mm.
I mean, but Levy's a clever guy. Like, he, I'm sure he'll work something out. And with the young players, I think Spurs have got Edwards on a new deal now, but they definitely had problems with that because you've got, again, it's the same. You've got City offering Patrick Roberts $60,000 a week and then fucking him off to Celtic for 2 years. And Edwards can legitimately say, I'm better than him. I feel like I'm in or at least the same level. He's being offered a standard youth contract by Tottenham, so it's a tricky situation. And we lost a guy to Chelsea recently. I've completely forgotten his name. There's a 15-year-old guy who was training with the first team on a semi-regular basis. Was really good.
Right. But he's gone to Chelsea.
He's gone to Chelsea because Spurs couldn't offer him. Spurs will
fucking.
Spurs will offer standard youth contract.
Yeah, but fucking.
And Chelsea will offer $20,000 a week.
And at 26, he's going to be working in a petrol station. I don't care. But if you want to go to Chelsea instead of Tottenham, then it's your
name. Naya Kirby is his name.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Naya, enjoy your time at Esso, mate. That's probably enough for this week. Thanks, Adam, very much for coming down. First appearance of the season. We'll get you on, I'm sure, very, very soon.
Look forward to it.
You seem to come around the Palace game quite a lot. You were on after the Alley goal. Yeah.
Great days.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Happy times. Yeah. Dan, good to see you, mate.
Cheers, mate. And you?
Very summery outfit you've got on today. Might take a picture for the Tottenham Way for the Twitter feed. Hopefully we'll be seeing that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us this week. We'll be back next Monday for a Palace review and Liverpool preview. This has been the Tottenham Way. Come on, you Spurs. Yeah.